Turn to John chapter 11, and this very familiar passage to you tonight. Very familiar passage. John chapter 11, this is the resurrection of Lazarus. And to fully appreciate what we're reading, we're going to read most of this, but we have to take big sections of it at one time. And notice verse 15 before we start in John chapter 11. "And I am glad for your sakes I was not there," these next words, "to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." The context of that is verse 14. Lazarus is dead. Those seem to be so... Now, we've read the end of the story, but if you can put yourself in the frame of mind of the disciples, Mary, Martha, and others that were close to him at this is very difficult passage. Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes I was not there. To the intent you may believe. Man, things from God's perspective don't look nearly the same as they do from our perspective. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful tonight to have the opportunity to be able to open up the Scripture and study. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand what we're reading here. Because, Lord, when we read this passage of Scripture, we are the people who are on this side of what you know on the other side. And we know that you want us to believe. That's the intent. But man, it can be hard. And we pray tonight that you will help us see in this passage some of those things that inhibit our ability to believe, so that when we recognize them in our own lives, we can look past those things to you. And we ask you to help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 11, verse 1, "And now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there's no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. We'll read more of the passage, but let's stop here and consider some things. Jesus said in verse 15, to the intent you may believe. And you know, as the 2 days progress and as the response or lack of response of the Lord Jesus Christ continues, and as their limited understanding is revealed, they're not having an easier time believing. if it was to the intent that you may believe, this is certainly one of those passages where you could say, help thou my unbelief. Because the circumstances are not getting better. They just found out on the one case, the Lord said, this sickness is not unto death. And then before they even leave to go to him, he says, Lazarus is dead. And so these things can really challenge our faith. And what we want to do is learn from their responses, learn from what you're reading in this passage, because we face the same difficulties. The Lord wants us to believe. We are to walk by faith. But we find in our own lives that it can be very difficult to do that at times. The question is, what inhibits our belief? And the first thing that we see in the passage that inhibits our belief is this. We don't hear what he said. When you read the Bible, you don't see everything that you're reading. When I read the Bible, I don't see everything that I'm reading. And you know that because if you've read through the Bible just a few times, you're seeing things now that you have read before that you didn't see when you read them the first time. You're learning more, you're hearing more, and sometimes what happens to us is Jesus says something to us in a passage of Scripture that we've read that addresses an area of faith in our lives for a circumstance in our lives. We didn't hear it. And they didn't hear what he said. Now look, in verse 3, his sisters sent unto him. So they didn't go, but somebody that they wanted to send to tell Jesus, a faithful messenger, came to him and said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. That's what he said. And the truth of the matter is, though Lazarus died, he did rise again, and it wasn't so temporary. He rose again, and before the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, in John chapter 12, Lazarus is sitting at a table eating supper with Jesus Christ one night. And there are people who are believing on the Lord Jesus Christ because of his resurrection. He said, this sickness is not unto death. But you know what? There wasn't anybody that heard that that heard that. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And there are many times when the Lord tells you something in the Scripture and tells me something in the Scripture that addresses the need of faith that we have. But because we're overwhelmed by the desire, overwhelmed by the demand, we don't get it, and we miss this aspect of so much that God does. It's not just about relieving our pain or changing our circumstances or improving our circumstances or answering our prayer. This stuff is about the glory of God. Back there in John chapter 9, in the place where the man who was born blind was given his sight, in verse 1, as Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth, his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him. See, these things are many times for the glory of God. That man had to live all those years without sight for one reason, so that Jesus could heal him at a time when his works would be manifest. And they were manifest before a bunch of Pharisees who thought they could see but were blind, and gave this man sight so that he would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So, one of the first things that inhibits our belief is, he said it, but we didn't get it. The Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're not going to get faith from the Word of God unless you hear what he said to you that addresses that need. Then, he says here, just one more time for good measure, in verse 11, these things said he, talking about walking in the day, all that, John 11:11. And after that, he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But I go, why? That I may awake him out of sleep. Now, their understanding is, he's talking about Lazarus resting, sleeping and resting. And he clarifies it for them, and because he has to tell them, Lazarus is dead. That doesn't change what he said in verse 11. What did he say he was going down there to do? To wake him out of sleep. But you know what? They didn't get that. They didn't hear that. As soon as they heard sleep, they're saying, oh, good, man, he's taking a rest. You know, when a man gets sick like that, he needs time some rest. He says, no, Lazarus is dead. And they forgot all about the fact that he just said, I'm going to wake him. Do you see? A lot of times in Scripture, the very thing we need is there, and we've read it, but we didn't hear it. So when you find yourself in a situation where your faith is being stretched to its limit, be very careful to read every word of the passages that you're reading, because the Lord is trying to speak to you. And if you just go over it too quickly, you, like these here, we're going to be inclined to miss what he said. I mean, after all, you're already overwhelmed by, right, this sickness that's facing Lazarus. Now, here's the second thing in the passage that inhibits our belief. Not only do we miss it, he said it, but we missed it. But the other thing is, we see a contrary circumstance. All right, the Lord said in verse 4, this sickness is not unto death. But then he says in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Wait a minute. Which is it? All right, so they saw a contrary circumstance that caused them to believe that it was the circumstance that they were viewing, the death of Lazarus, that then became the outcome of this whole episode here, that he wasn't going to rise from the dead. Here's Peter. He's in a boat. And he sees Jesus Christ walking on the water. And he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And the Lord says one thing, come. Does he need to say anything else? No. Come. Are those the words of God? Yes. And do we not put our faith in the words of God? Yes. Okay. Peter steps out of the boat, and for just a little while, everything's going well until he sees a contrary circumstance. Boy, this water sure is rough, and this wind is sure stirring up a storm. And as soon as he took his eyes off the Lord and quit trusting what the Lord said, and instead started looking at the circumstance, boop, then he fell in the water. The Lord says to his disciples, let's get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. What does that mean? That means we're going to go to the other side. All right, halfway over, they encounter a big storm. There's so much water on board now, they are fearful the boat is going to capsize. Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the back. You know, it's like that. Here he is. I'll just wait around here a couple of days, let the guy be good and dead. You know, it's like that with the Lord sometimes. We're desperate, and it seems that we are at that very point that if God doesn't intervene at this very moment, we're not going to make it. And they go back there and said, carest thou not that we perish? And it's kind of like, well, if you die, what do you think is going to happen to me? I mean, and he didn't say this, but could he not have said, did I not say we're going to go to the other side? And he even accuses them of not having very much faith. He settles down the storm, you know, and everything is still. And they're like, wow, what kind of guy is this anyway? He's God. He's God manifest in the flesh. And then, of course, they do make it to the other side. And none of them died in that storm. They all made it through. Why did they all make it through? Because Jesus said before they got in the boat, we're going to the other side. See? So don't just be sure of this, that if the Lord, if you need faith to get through something difficult in your life, the Lord has recorded in the Scripture the words you're going to need to believe to get through that circumstance in your life. So if you're not reading them, you're not going to get them. And if you don't hear them because you read over them too fast, they're not going to help you. They didn't help these guys. And the second thing is, when you see the situation get worse before it gets better, you don't want to do what these guys did and consider the contrary circumstance. Right? You want to hang on to the faith. Because that contrary circumstance will definitely inhibit our belief. We all go through it. But we got to recognize, whoops, this is a circumstance. We don't want to cave in just because things aren't looking good. Another problem is found later in the passage. Let's keep reading. So in verse 17, we learn that he'd lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany, verse 18, was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come, calleth for thee. Now, here's the next problem. Here's the next thing that inhibits our belief. We have a singular mindset. In other words, when we start praying, we've already got in our mind how it is that God has to answer the prayer. She says to him in verse 21, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. She didn't consider other possibilities like, you know, now that you're here, you can raise him from the dead. That wasn't her mindset. And oftentimes when we're dealing with difficult circumstances in our lives, we have a singular mindset, you know. It has to be this way. Heal my child. Not considering that God may have another way of working this thing that brings more glory to Him and accomplishes more in His purpose than what we could imagine. And so once we don't see God answering the way we already have figured that God should answer, then we figure God's not answering at all. See, she just boxed the thing out. Well, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. It's kind of like, well, then what are you doing over here talking to me? If you've given me no more options to do anything that might be for the glory of God and might be in accordance with the faith I've already given you from the things I've already said. I mean, whoever the servant is that went over there and told Jesus that Lazarus was dying obviously didn't stay around there with Jesus for 2 more days. He or she would have gone back to Mary and Martha and could easily have delivered the news. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And I really imagine, because of the love that they had for each other, that's exactly what happened. And so she boxes the whole thing in. Oh boy, he's not going to die. And then he dies. It's like, you know what? If you hadn't been over there doing whatever it was you were doing, been here, this you ever talk to God like that? Why is it that you answered their prayer that way and you're not answering my prayer the same way? I saw you do it for them. How come you didn't do it for me? You see, we are guilty a lot of times of inhibiting our faith because we box God in. We've got one way that we want Him to answer. And that's not what faith is about. Faith is about finding out what God is doing and believing that. So it leads to the next thing that inhibits our faith. In verse 22, she says, you know, if you'd been here, my brother not died, so you dropped the ball, Lord. You know, you really let us all down. But I know something. Even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Here's the next thing that inhibits our faith. We know God can, we're just not sure He will. I mean, if she really believed what she's saying in verse 22, I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. She could easily have said, you sent the message back to us, this is not for a sickness unto death, but for the glory of God. Why don't you raise him from the dead? He's already done it before. But she didn't step out quite that far, because in faith, we recognize that God can, but with inhibited faith, we're not sure that He will. So we stop, you know. It's kind of like those disciples. So in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus Christ gave His disciples the power to cast out devils. And they went and they cast out devils, and they came back and said, wow, even the devils are subject unto us. So they had seen this working. Now Jesus leaves the scene to go with Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they see what He's going to look like in the coming of His kingdom. They see Him with Moses and Elijah. What a tremendous thing. They come down and there's a big ruckus going on. There's a guy that has brought his son, who's possessed with the devil, to have the devil cast out. And the devils, the disciples can't do it. and they're like, wow, something went wrong here. Jesus came down, and you know what He said? You got it's a problem with your faith. It's not the faith of the Father. It wasn't the faith of the little boy. It's your faith. That's the thing with these faith healers. People always say these faith healers, they'll come in a wheelchair and the faith healer can't heal them. He says, you know what, you don't have enough faith. Jesus never accused somebody of not having enough faith that came to be healed. If they came to be healed, they had enough faith to be healed. He accused the healers. That's who He accused. And so Jesus cast the devil out, and then they came and said, why couldn't we do that? He said, well, this kind cometh forth, not forth, but by prayer and fasting. In other words, they gave up. They gave up when they knew they'd already been given the power. They knew that God had done it, but they gave up. And we give up sometimes when we get to a place where we know that God can, but we're not sure that He will. And Martha's hedging here herself. I think you get to a very special place when you have prayed and you're relying on the words of God. You get to a very special place where God directs you in your faith to the place where He wants you to believe. And that's what the Lord does here. He says in verse 23, Martha, thy brother shall rise again. He brings her to the place where He intends to go. He tells her, thy brother shall rise again. He just replied to what she said. I know whatever you ask God, He'll do it. Good. He's going to rise again. But you see, if you understand where she is when she says that, she doesn't believe that He's going to do it, although she knows that He can. She doesn't really, it's number one again, she doesn't really hear what He's saying. Your brother's going to rise again. Which leads us to the next problem, or the next thing that inhibits our faith, and it's this. We interpret what He says by what we already know. Look what she says in reply. He just told her, your brother's going to rise again. She ought to go, glory to God, thank you for asking your father to get that nail. When do we start? But instead, she's treading water just like Peter. She's trying to bail out the boat just like the disciples. He said unto her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That answers for Lazarus. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And what does she say?
Yeah.
I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She interpreted what he said by what she already knew. He couldn't reveal new truth to her there because she limited it to what she already knows. Well, that's wonderful that she believes he's the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's the great confession that Peter made in Matthew chapter 16. That was a revelation to him by his Father. But that's not what Jesus Christ is talking about. Jesus Christ is talking about, I'm fixing to do something here. Your brother's going to rise again. I'm the resurrection of the life. She goes, yeah, you're the Son of God. I know that. You know what we are? We're Bible believers. It's on the name of the church, right? Bible believers. We're Bible believers. And as Bible believers, we are moderately dispensational. You know what that means? We recognize there's right divisions in this Bible, bless God. You know what that means then? God can't show you something that doesn't fit in a dispensation to increase your faith because you're like, well, that doesn't work. That doesn't work this time. Yeah, the healing gifts are gone. That was all for the Jews back then. You got somebody that really needs to be healed and you're praying and say, yeah, but that's all signs for the Jews. We're in another dispensation. Right? I mean, that Syrophoenician woman came up to Jesus Christ and she goes, I've got a, you know, she's not a Jew. She's up there by Tyre and Zidon. She comes over there and she says, man, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Heal her. He says, he doesn't even answer her. And she's pestering the disciples and they tell Jesus, get this woman off our back. So he says, look, I've not come but for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Dispensational? Right? He tells those disciples, you go, you make sure you do not go to Samaritans and do not go to Gentiles. So he tells her, I have not come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's fine. She said, that no big deal to me. He said, it's not meet to cast the children's bread to dogs. Call me what you will, the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. All right, she's healed. You see, she didn't box herself into some thing that said, oh yeah, that's right, oops, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong dispensation. I'll wait till after your resurrection, I'll come back and see if I can't get one of Paul or somebody to do this when she grows up. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes, yeah, John Payton, who was the missionary to New Hebrides, which is now Vanuatu, was sailing and he was reading through Psalm 2:8. This is definitely a psalm. Well, keep your finger here real quick. It's better if you see it for yourself. He's reading through the Psalms. Psalm 2 is just clearly the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the establishment of his millennial reign. Verse 6, Psalm 2:6, I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. That's Jesus Christ ruling in Jerusalem. Verse 7, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Speaking of the begotten birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord is speaking to his own son and says in verse 8, ask of me and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. This is clearly something given to Jesus Christ as a promise during his millennial reign. John Payton claimed that verse of scripture for New Hebrides, got there on an island of cannibals, was nearly killed, and before him they were. And by the time he finished his mission work on that island, the report was there wasn't a lost soul on that island, on that verse of scripture. You know what he didn't do? He didn't box himself out because of his understanding of the dispensations. God had been dealing with him. He'd been dealing with God in prayer, and God allowed him faith in that verse of scripture to recognize where you're going. Don't worry about dying. And he got the heathen for his inheritance. So we have. I know you don't want to be charismatic. I'm not talking about being so crazy that you forget the right divisions of the Bible. When God's trying to give you some faith in a verse of Scripture, and you're like, well, that doesn't apply to us. Paul is proving to the Jews that Gentiles belong in the church, and every verse he quotes is Gentile salvation in the millennial reign from the Old Testament. So be careful about interpreting what God says when he's giving you faith in a verse of Scripture I already know that. That doesn't work for us. Be careful. Because it may be something God's given you to strengthen your faith. Now he asks her in verse 26, "Believest thou this?" And, you know, she spouts off what she already believes. And it's good that she does, but it didn't help her in the circumstance. There's not a soul in here that doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he's your Savior, but that won't help you in your circumstance if he's trying to give you faith. Mary says the same thing to the Lord in verse 32 that Martha did. "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And so it's just, you know, back to the same thing. She had the same singular mindset that her sister did. We have only one way you can do this. You just can't let him die. But then that all leads us to the last thing. Let's pick it up here in verse 39. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, she's kind of a know-it-all, you know. "The sister of him that was dead saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh." Like, as if Jesus wouldn't have known that, right? "If it's been dead 4 days, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe," that's what this is about, "to the intent that ye may believe." That's what it's all about. "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" Here's the sixth thing that inhibits our belief. We live more by sight than we do by faith. We really do. I mean, we come by it pretty naturally. But that's what Martha, she's looking over there and she goes, "Man, he's been dead 4 days. You know, Lord, he stinks." Well, of course, that's right. But you know, faith doesn't regard what it sees. Faith is to regard what it believes. And what's 4 days anyway? If you've read the Old Testament, you know that the Jews are coming out of their graves in Ezekiel chapter 37, and by the time they come out of the graves, they are nothing but dry bones. We're not talking about days, we're talking about millennia of dead bones. I mean, been in there for thousands of years. And they all come up, an army to take possession of the land. What's 4 days? That's nothing. But rather than remember something as powerful as a passage like Ezekiel chapter 37 and planting her faith on all these things that Jesus said, plus what she already knew to be true from the Old Testament, she says, "You know what? He stinks." We called him a stinker when he was alive, and we have to be careful with that. We have to be careful with going by what we see. And we live in the age. You have a Bible here, and God is trying, in your difficult circumstances, trying to give you direction, trying to give you, to the intent that you may believe. And bless God, you'll spend more time digging through internet websites than you will digging through your Bible, trying to find a solution for your circumstance. And that's not going to help you. Because God does things that go beyond what you can find with your eyes. You got to get into an area where you believe what he said with your heart. That's what it's about. So you can talk it over with your friends and you sort it all out with the professionals. Look, man, you deal with something difficult in your life, you get with God and listen carefully to what he's saying. And remember, as we bring this thing to the conclusion in verse 40, you know how it turns out. He rose from the dead. But verse 40, he said, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? God will take these things until through them..." We say this, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." And that's true. But a lot of the things that God brings in your life are not good things. But when you walk into them by faith, they are for the glory of God. And that ultimately is what faith is for, mostly for the glory of God. And so, sure enough, the Lord came before the grave. They opened the stone. They took away the stone in verse 41. And he says in verse 42, "I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe," that's the intent, "that thou hast sent me." And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." What a day. That is not at all what they expected. But that's what he'd been saying to them the whole way through. And indeed, God was glorified. And many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ because of Lazarus. We read that in John chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. But we'll stop there. So just as a reminder then, remember, when you got to get through something and that can only be gotten through by faith, be careful to hear what he's saying to you. Don't look at the contrary circumstance as a challenge to your faith. Remember not to have a singular mindset. God has a number of ways of working these things out. Just because you know He can is not enough. You got to get to a place where you're sure that He will. Don't interpret what He says by what you already know. And always live more by faith than you do by sight. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to see these wonderful, wonderful things in this passage of Scripture. They're so familiar to us. Lord, we'll need these things every day, but sometimes in our lives, perhaps some of us tonight are going to need these things directly. Help us. Help us, Lord, to live by what you're showing us. We ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.